SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this gonna be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Tuesday afternoon, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's time for the best hour of your day, and you know what time that is. It's 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here, I believe. We'll be joined today by Kevin Walsh at some point today. Probably have some fun talking about that college basketball game. Did you watch it last night, people? I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch a single basket last night, but I woke up early this morning, K-Dub, and you know what I did? Watch the condensed game. 20 minutes every single possession, cut out the commercials. Watch Zach Edey absolutely dominate, and then watched the UConn Huskies blow out the Boilermakers. Craziness, man. What a wagon UConn is.
Yeah, dominant 2-year run, covered every single number, won all the games by double digits, booked as a favorite in all of the games. The first year, underseeded. This year, nothing they could do. They were the number one overall seed. They still ended up with what looked like the most difficult bracket of the bunch. Again, not playing Auburn is one of the odd things for that I'll remember from this tournament somehow.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say this, Don. It kind of goes against, I feel, sometimes your intuition of, hey, man, Zach Edey scores 37. They're going to win that game by 20.
Yeah.
Like, yep. And Hurley kind of said, no. Our goal was to basically let Edey score 35. And as long as nobody else did anything, we were going to be fine.
It's crazy. It's a wild theory because I had Connecticut winning that game, -6.5. I also had the under in that game. But the handicap was Klingon's going to do enough to make Zach Edey a little bit frustrated and hold him to around 20 points or less. They let him go 1-on-1 all game long. And I thought Klingon did a decent job. But Zach Edey made some unbelievable plays, man. Some moves that we quite haven't seen all that often this year, and fighting through contact and still being a dominant player. 37-10, and they got rocked. Why? What was the fear always with Purdue, right? Like, hey, man, they shoot the three-point shot. They can shoot the lights out. Because why? Teams triple team Zach Edey. You sit there at the three-point line with nobody around you. You drop wide-open triple after wide-open triple. Work like a charm all year long. And UConn said, no, we're going to call you on that theory right now. We'll take away your three-point shot. We'll defend and try to plague Zach Edey as much as we want. He gets all the points there. UConn still stomps him out. It's just wild. When I was watching that game all the way, I was like, oh, man, this game is getting close right now at this point. Looks like Purdue might be able to take the lead at the end of the first half. You're down 6 at the break. And as we always know, Kevin, you're talking probably last night during the show, like, this is going to be a big 3-4 minutes right here. Purdue closes this gap. Now the pressure's on UConn. And UConn just went the opposite direction. Double-digit lead, held on, no sweat from what the 17-minute mark on in the second half, excuse me.
Well, I think it's one of those situations, Donnie, though. To be the best three-point shooting team in college basketball and attempt 7 shots, 15 less than your opponent, you are not winning. You know, it's kind of funny. It almost speaks to why, you know, wow, why is Zach Edey not the first overall pick? Because basketball is not a throw it in the post, 4 dribbles, skyhook game. The three-point shot is too valuable. Now, I know they only went 1 of 7 on those threes. They were blocked on a few of them, and I know that was the game plan. But here's the thing. It's not that UConn got all their threes because Klingon got the ball and Purdue doubled, and then he kicked it out. You can get three-point shots, Donnie, regardless. And it almost comes off that Purdue and more specifically the coaching staff led by Matt Painter, was not smart enough to realize, hey, we're the best three-point shooting team in the country, and we've allowed them to dictate that we're not going to shoot any threes. It's bad coaching, Donnie. And that's the thing. Look, for Hurley, man, you know, a two-year run where he's established himself as the best coach in college with a considerable gap as to whoever you believe the second-best coach in college is.
No, I'm just floored how good UConn is, and we'll see what the sky is the limit. It's hard to win one title, let alone back-to-back, very rare. And now they're going to go for a three-peat next year, but again, a lot of players moving on. College basketball is tough. It's hard to go 6-0 in the tournament because that's what you want to have to do. I had a parlay yesterday, my only loss in the game, Kevin. I had Spencer getting 10-plus points for UConn. I also had Newton getting 10-plus points for UConn, so they got 20-11 there. And also, the only update I saw in this game was, I believe Spencer had 2 points. Newton had 2 points in the first, like, 2.5 minutes. And also, Jones for Purdue had an N1 in the first minute and a half. I go, okay, I got 3 points, 2 points, and 2 points. I don't need that much here. Use the 50% odds boost on Bet365. So it was a nice boost. And then I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do is, let me just check the box scores here. I had a very nice night in Major League Baseball. But then I look down and go, you got to be kidding me. Guy ends up with 5 points, scored 3 points in the first minute and a half. Averages at least 12 on the season. Come on now. Like, that hurt me right there, realizing that if we all would have known the game plan coming in, we've all would have just attacked Zach Eby. Hey, man, they're not even going to defend that guy no matter what happens. Boy, that inside information would have been really nice to know.
Well, I mean, my best bet was Edie over the points, and not because terrible. I knew that they weren't going. Not terrible. No, it was a great bet. Because here's
dropping
the thing.
Dropping all day.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, awful bet at all of you. He played 39 minutes. 17th game this season where he played 35 or more minutes, and he's 14-3 over, and he had 25 or more points in 14 of the 17 games. Bad cap out of you guys. Too much volume. Way too much volume. Bad job out of you guys. That's okay. That's okay. You got all next year to figure that out.
But what did you give it back on? What did you give it back on? Little MLB
nothing, actually.
Action.
That was a free bet, though. That's okay. We could touch a 40-1, Zach E. Here's the thing, though, Donnie. And yeah. Look, I bet that almost on principle, because if they did the right thing and I didn't get any value off of it, that would have been unfortunate for me. But I'll say this. It's pretty bizarre that in the 60s they were able to have more intelligent conversations than we are here in 2024. Because in the 60s, Donnie, in every single sport, Jerry West, right? You know, all these guys that were able to win. There's a Super Bowl MVP, which I didn't know until yesterday, who was on the losing team, one of the first, like, 10 Super Bowls that happened.
Yeah,
Zach Eady was very clearly the most outstanding player. The only reason anyone would vote for Tristan Newton is, we usually voted on tonight, and he led the team in scoring, so Tristan Newton most outstanding. Which is, they should just get rid of the award then, Don. It is completely useless. If you want, I could read the box score and tell you who led the team in scoring that won the title.
Yeah, and that's really what the award is, basically. Same thing like the Super Bowl is technically. Like, I just pick the best player on the winning team, regardless of actually statistics sometimes. It is kind of crazy how it does. Major League Baseball is playing this afternoon. The NBA back in a monster way tonight. And if you aren't following the standings down the stretch, my goodness. Everybody but the Celtics, people, in play. It's crazy time here. We got an hour to get through it and have some fun breaking it all down. It's Kevin and Donnie right here on Moneyline. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh. Whoa! The NWO! New world order. Hold on, let me do it right here.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's see here. Close.
Yeah,
it's not perfect.
Oh,
it's close.
Man. Yeah, I need to get something a little bit toned down now. New world order. Oh, great time in wrestling here. And also Roman Reigns, I believe, has retired. Did I see that correctly? We no longer have to watch him. The Bloodline, maybe the dumbest, like, storyline in the history of the world. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. But as we digress, there's a champion, and it's UConn. Who's stopping them? Next year will be tough, obviously. World's going around. Who's going to be that Kentucky head coach? Hurley goes, get lost. I'm staying here in UConn. Nate Oates like, I'll pass on Kentucky.
Hold on.
Money is going to start to ramp up. Ramp up. It's going to be Bruce Pearl, baby.
I want the Donnie Wright side take on Hurley passing the buck, saying it's his wife's fault. Now, he didn't say, I'm not going. He's like
that move.
I mean, Donnie, my tea leaves? Look, I'd be there tomorrow, but the missus is legitimately leaving me if I make her live in Kentucky.
Yeah, no, I think he played it well. Now, it's not about the wife, like, saying, like, I'm not moving to Kentucky. Like, I'm a Northeast girl. Or I don't even know who the heck she is. I'm just, like, playing out a storyline here at this point. But Hurley doing that, saying it's on the wife, which means, you know, I didn't talk to my agent after this game yet because, you know, we're celebrating a championship here. But I really can't actually get into this because I'm going to ask for more money tomorrow morning. So I can't say that I'm out on any job. So here's how I'll play it out. Like, that's the smart way to do it.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. As you were talking, Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director at Kentucky, has officially said goodbye to Calipari. Mm-hmm. I've been following this story, and basically it took Cal forever to officially notify. And here's his first message is coming out now as well on his Twitter. Man, 4 minutes long. That's interesting. Maybe we'll play some of that. But it took him a long time, Donnie, to notify them. So it slowed. So, okay, they said it slowed down the process of Kentucky being able to call, you know, the head coaches that they'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not true, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably still all the backdoor conversations going on, you would imagine?
Yes. There's the world of college basketball is devious, to say the least, specifically with coaches. Now players can be devious. I'm out of here. I don't care. Like, you guys paid me $1 million to come here on an NIL after 1 year. Yeah, I'm bouncing. There's no strings attached to this. I'm going to go to the next school that pays me $1 million. Same thing with coaches here. But I'm interested to see, like, what actually is taking place at Kentucky and who do they turn to? Because typically at a job like that, and I said, we're not going to get through Friday. Like, Kentucky will have the head coach by Friday, but the longer you wait means the more money they're offering and the amount of response they're getting back isn't what it is. It's almost like Kalen DeBoer. Like, Alabama looked around and goes, we have to get a legitimate name in here to continue this legacy once Saban leaves. And that's why I was like, okay, these guys are out, this guy's not going, this guy's not going. Our last chance might be DeBoer, who's a very good coach. Blank check this guy to get him in here. And that's what happens. So somebody's going to get a monster bag to go to Kentucky here the longer this waits.
I think, again, the reporting has said that their dream guy is Scott Drew. I just don't know. So Donnie, here's the situation, right? And tell me, Scott Drew was courted by Louisville. Mm-hmm. He then told Baylor, hey, I'll stay. Just give me some more money.
Yes.
They did.
Yes.
That obviously was about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can Scott Drew do that again and either get more money or say, I'm actually leaving and going to Kentucky?
No, I don't think you can do it twice in a row like that. You know what I mean? Because I'm pretty sure with the more money came, Kevin, was the more buyout on top of it. It's why the crazy thing, and good for Alabama for doing this. Like, Nate Oates re-upped at a time where nobody was really looking at a major job yet. Vegas, like, you know what? We love you, man. Let's sign you up. You love it here. We love you here. Psst, by the way, $20 million buyout here. All right, I'm not going anywhere. Like, this is the job I want. We're going to make a run in the NCAA tournament, and away we go. Now, things would have played out way differently. Like, if Nate Oates was still not with a big buyout, he would have a triple buyout and a triple contract at this point. So it's like he doesn't know the Kentucky job's coming open and that they would want him. Because quite frankly, he might not even want to go there. But from a negotiation standpoint, that's where your agent calls up and goes, watch this, man. We're going to tell him that you want Kentucky and Kentucky wants you. Even if you don't want it, boom. You make $8 million this year, you're going to make $9 million now. I just made you an extra $1 million because you technically don't want to go to Kentucky, but you can actually go there. I don't think you can do it twice. I don't. But by the way, I like Bruce Pearl at Kentucky, man. I need Bruce Pearl there.
It's incredible. I can't believe Nate Oates is saying no. That's really surprising.
I'm telling you, I think he's in a better spot right now. Legend. He could be a legend at Alabama and make the same amount of money. Why is he going to Kentucky with that pressure?
Well, Donnie, if he... But Donnie, that... that's not how these guys are wired. Too much pressure. Like that. That's not how Nate Oates is wired.
Yeah, we don't know. Does he have kids? Like, what would be the big difference at this point, right? Like, hey, I have all the money I need in the world in Alabama, which, again, Kentucky, similar there, because you're not like, hey, I got to move to New York City or San Francisco. My house just went from $1 million and I have a palatial estate to a cardboard box in that area, so I got to upgrade and pay all that money. Those are two really good living conditions from a I make a ton of money standpoint. You can basically buy a whole town and live in it yourself. So I don't know if that move would be so, like, all right, we're going to go to Kentucky. And what have they done there? You know, my kids are in school. My wife, you know, just joined the PTA, and she loves her country club. A lot of that stuff goes into it, because when you come home, same way like we joke about Hurley, that the wife is like, my family's here. Like, our kids are in school. We love it. And, you know, this house was our dream house that we built from scratch because we've been here so long. Do we want to go to Kentucky at this point? And he goes, well, I really want to. And she goes, I don't want to. You know who wins that argument? The wife wins that argument there. Like, you're going to drag your wife and kids to Kentucky. They're going to tell you they hate it every single day. Like, that won't work. Like, it takes harmony in the household. Now, you know what fixes harmony? Babe, I make $2 million a year. Kentucky just said I can make $8 million. It's like, oh, that's the greatest job in the world. We're headed down there. You know what I mean?
I mean, Donnie, quite frankly, I'd imagine the Kentucky head coach could get about $10 million a year.
I don't know.
No? Well, I mean, so here's the thing to me that I keep coming back to. Mm-hmm. They considered a $30+ million buyout to get rid of John Calipari. He then quit and saved them $30 million.
But see, I know where your argument's going in that point, but I counter that point and say they couldn't afford to buy him out because they didn't.
You're right. No. You're right. But Donnie, if the buyout was $15 million, if he's fired? I mean, Donnie, you said it yesterday. The reason he quit is because he knew he would have been fired if it wasn't for the buyout,
right? Correct. Yes.
So,
yes.
What I'm trying to say is there's a number where they would have made the decision. And considering they considered it at 30, you know, I think it's like 33, 32 million. I mean, he's probably, at 10 million, he's like long gone. They don't even let him get off the court against Oakland. Like, yeah. Goki hits the 10th three and they fire him right there and tell Tyler Ulis to coach the rest of that game.
I know it's a crazy circumstance overall, and I think college basketball as a whole wins by this, because it's fun to see Cal move on and try to take Arkansas to the next level. And then it's interesting about you, like, because we know the names for Kentucky, right? But it's one of those jobs that should have a strike point. Like, all right, Cal left in 24 hours, we already got our guy, because agents are on the phone going like, you got 24 hours before this gets out, my guy has to answer questions about being at his school, right? Which is why you get the dance. You get to Hurley saying, I don't know my wife. And you get to NATO, it's going like, I really love it here. Dude, those conversations were already had. Because if that gets out here, then it gets a lot of animosity and negative recruiting. You got like 24 hours to strike, and they haven't struck yet, which means the guys like Bruce Pearl, and I don't even know if Scott Drew now would be like, it's going on a little bit too long about me moving on, and I like what I got down in Baylor in the Big 12. It's pretty odd the way it's turning out right now. But I do believe by Friday, the University of Kentucky will have a new head coach. We'll just have to wait and see who that head coach is. By the way, Joe Lisi says, you know what Joe Lisi said? Jay Wright. Jay Wright ain't going anywhere. Stay in that booth, make a couple $1 million. Relax, man. No pressure at all. We'll be right back after this break. You know the deal. It's Moneyline. It's how we get down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Going over some big, big-time stuff. By the way, the NBA, fantastic stuff, man. You're talking to a guy that, like, you know, the NBA is always there for us. We enjoy the playoffs. You know, betting props in the NBA is quite fun to do. If you just bet Dante DiVincenzo's three-point props every night, you cash in, you cheer it on, and away you go. But the fact that there's 10 teams in each conference, and theoretically, only the Boston Celtics are left out of the last week, everybody is in play. I've never seen anything like this here. It's like, oh, man, look at this, man. You know, it's top six seeds already locked in. BS games over the final week. Not the case. Every day, including today, and I love the fact they took last night off because it gave the teams rest and then goes, okay, well, Tuesday, everybody is playing. What a card tonight. Going back and forth. I'm telling you right now, I missed this opportunity. And sometimes you tell people, Kevin, about what you want to do and what you're going to do. I told everybody. The Philadelphia 76ers, when they were getting their head kicked in, and I knew Embiid was coming back, I said to myself, let me just wait a couple, because I was looking at their schedule. It's like, oh, they're going to get their heads cracked in these next two games. And they did. They're up to 40-1 at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win an NBA championship. They're now down to 25-1. But I told him, like, I'm just going to take a flyer on the Sixers. I'm like, ah, you know what? I'm just not good, because I know how this is probably going to work out. Like, Embiid just never going to come back. They're not going to be good. The Sixers might be one of the hottest teams in the NBA by Sunday night, out of the play-in round, and looking like a real player, as if Milwaukee just fell off the earth and the Sixers actually are the true number two seed here. It's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you, the value of that team getting to the six is they will be favored in a series over anyone that's not Milwaukee. Yep. I'm not saying they can't beat Milwaukee. I would pick them. I'm just saying they won't be favored over the Bucks if the Bucks have home court. And it keeps them out of the Boston bracket until the conference finals at the earliest. Mm-hmm. And if you're Embiid, you know, you have to get to your first conference finals. That's step one. And then you go from there. So I couldn't agree more. And Donnie, the only reason that I didn't make those bets is because I bet the Sixers preseason to win the title. Because I thought that they would trade Harden and they would bring in another piece. And I thought there was value on that team because I didn't like the rest of the conference as much. Now, it's funny, they didn't make that move, which is kind of the forgotten thing with this Sixers team, is they just let it roll. And it's impressive that they were, you know, they were so good so early that they were able to hold their heads above water. Look, they stunk without Embiid, but it didn't matter. And Tyrese Maxey, again, reminding people he was an all-star this year. And that's what this team has, two all-stars. And in Boston, that's true. The Knicks are all injured. Cavs, eh. Pacers, eh.
Uh-huh.
You know, when was the last time Dame felt like an all-star, right? My gosh, you see the swirly video that's going around with him, the little swoosh ball
he was good. Yep.
Working out with? Oh, my goodness, man. It's pretty good.
I mean, that guy's whole life got ruined by not going to Miami. His entire life crashed and burned in front of his eyes.
Legit.
Where now all you hear is behind the scenes, like he, again, I love the quote, like, all I do is go to practice and come home and go to sleep. I was like, yeah, that sounds like he really enjoys his time in Milwaukee. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's get to the phone lines here, K-Dub. 844-843-6879. It's Andrew from Virginia calling in today on a Tuesday post NCAA championship. What's up, Andrew?
Guys, UConn. Yes, I cashed a beautiful 9-1 ticket, so I am very happy. And I made some nice money on that. I glanced at the futures for next year, and the only two teams that stood out to me: Duke, if Filipowski comes back, and Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't touch anybody. But it's way too early to even touch any of those teams.
Yeah.
I just fired a bet, a futures bet in the awards market for baseball, National League MVP on Mookie Betts. I read an article by Mike Lupica. He's talking about him, how he changed positions, how he's a six-tool player. And I don't know if Mike Lupica is a guy that's going to vote for him, but I think he thinks like the voters. You know, he's kind of like one of these guys that maybe never really played, but, you know, here's Mookie Betts, a smaller stature guy. Oh, I can relate to him. I just think there's so much juice behind Mookie Betts with the changing positions. And, you know, I'm reading this article and he's telling me if he was a voter, he would vote for him. Why would I not bet on Mookie Betts at plus 420? I fired on him. I like him. Best team in baseball. Top of the order. He's going to have all the stats. Playing shortstop. It makes sense to me.
Does. Absolutely does. The tough part about it, as Kevin knows, is I always get nervous when you have an Ohtani and a Freddie Freeman and so many great players on the Los Angeles Dodgers where you can split votes. But it just matters how you can run away with the thing. And maybe he can. Hitting 375 on the season, 5 bombs, 11 RBIs, an OPS of 1,300, which is second in the National League, which is incredible here as he's lined up this number. By the way, today, Kevin, RBI props for the Dodgers wide open on the top of that lineup. Ohtani, really? Mookie Betts, But my best bet this morning, which I've been rolling on best bets, Freddie Freeman today to get an RBI at a plus 125 price. And the question comes up, like, oh, why didn't you just take like Mookie Betts and or Otani instead of him? Well, I figure both of those guys will be on base. Sacrifice fly at that point from, you know, Freddie Freeman gets the job done. Love betting the props out there for those guys, man. Every inning, it seems like they're smashing. Kevin, you know who's smashing too right now? The Atlanta Braves lineup. Whether or not Strider comes back, every night, man, I'm just loading up on that team. Because it's green lights, Kevin, all the way through every night for them again. It's crazy.
Well, that's been the case, right, for Atlanta last year. But
yes.
Can I make just a point then off of what Andrew was just talking about, Donnie?
Yeah.
Look, I know it's kind of, and it's one of my favorite bits we have about guys cutting in on one another, but the Ronald Acuña Jr., Donnie, ran away with the award, and Olsen and Riley had preposterous seasons. Also, look at the market right now. Let's just take 42-1 or less. Dodgers, Braves, Padres, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies,
yeah, it's crazy.
Diamondbacks, Braves, Mets, Phillies, Padres. So, yeah. And again, it's a very, very fun thing that we have. But by that logic, okay, so this is either going to Corbin Carroll or Pete Alonso. But that's not what's going to happen. My concern on Mookie, if I were offering concern, is there's 140-plus games remaining. You know what I mean? Now, plus 420 is a fine enough number. And as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be in the race of it all.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that there's an article of someone being like, if I had a vote today, I'd give it to Mookie Betts. Like, you have a vote today? Who? I don't know. It's 10 games. But I'll tell you the awards angle, Donnie, that I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. Was Trout comeback player of the year, which is at plus 400.
Yeah.
Only because, like, so Tyler O'Neill's the second choice here, plus 420. This is where, who the hell cares what Tyler O'Neill does? If Mike Trout stays healthy and hits 40 home runs, how's he not getting it?
Yeah. No, look, I hear you. I hear you on that. And Trout, who knows what's going to happen in that season for the Angels, but they're not as bad as we thought they would be. Certainly, they're not Chicago White Sox / Miami Marlins bad at this point and winning some baseball games. But usually the cream does rise to the top here. And Mike Trout, who knows if he's going to get injured again, but if he doesn't, he's going to put up some pretty good numbers out there where then it would be apparent the only thing they're trying to do, Kevin, is get him an MVP award, which means they'll do that old, hey, Aaron Judge, we need to make sure you're getting as many bats as you can. Bat leadoff, man, for the final 30 days of the season to get as many bats as you can. Should be interesting to watch it play out. But watching baseball right now, Kevin, Baltimore and Boston just started. That game is currently 0-0. And how about this? Top of the ninth inning, but two on nobody out, the Detroit Tigers. The reason I bring that game up is both those teams playing really good baseball, and the Pirates could pick up another victory if they can get through the ninth inning here. Pretty incredible start for the Buccos here. Some good baseball being played out there in the NL Central. But looks like this, Kev. Got another phone call here on the line. Let's bring him up right away. 844-843-6879. Keith, calling in from Kansas on a Tuesday radio Moneyline. What's up, Keith?
Oh, not much. Survived the windstorm over the weekend. We had like 40 to 60 mile an hour winds for like 36 hours over the weekend. It was quite the dust. Quite the dust storm going on there. But on the eclipse day in the day, everything's calmed down, so we're getting back to normal. So it's all good here. And the Royals are playing good ball. Got me a little jacked up. 6-4.
Yeah.
Going into tonight. Got a big game. Yeah. I dig it, man. I'm missing those mid-teen years when the Royals were, we had a good team. But, you know, those were the days.
Little Saberhagen action, little Brett action. Royals, Royals, Phillies, 1980.
That's what
fighting Phillies, baby.
That's when I was like 3 years old being a shithead probably. But
yeah.
Anyways, I called in about it's Masters week, man. I'm going to give you some early picks here. You ready?
Let's go. Bring them up, man. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm bringing them on. So Thursday, be careful of the first-round leaders play. It looks like it's going to be rainy and stormy. So I doubt they get the whole day in. So look at some later tee times Thursday. That way they might miss, and they can play some Friday and get some better weather. And then I got some outrights. Let's go with Brooks Koepka, 20-1. Patrick Reed, 70-1. Those are already locked in, and then we'll go with, I haven't put them in, but they're going to be on the card. We'll go with Russell Henley and Xander Schauffele. Those are some good picks.
By the way, Keith.
And once they get, what's up?
No, I was just going to ask you a question. Love those picks that go in because I'm always interested in people that handicap the Masters and how they play it out. But everybody always talks about this. Tiger Woods. The question for me is not, is he going to win the tournament? The question is going to be, is he going to make the cut in your eyes, Keith? And also, is he going to withdraw because he's injured if that's not the case? What's your thoughts on Tiger this week?
Oh, Mr. Eldrick. He's a gamer. He's almost pushing 50. He's got it going on. I think he's got the mustard in him. I'm going to say yes. I think he will make the cut and probably get around. We'll give him a top 40, 45, you know, somewhere around there.
There you go, Tiger making the cut. By the way, FanDuel Sportsbook, you know, Kevin, there's going to be a boost on Thursday for Tiger Woods to get at least three or four RBI. How about that? It's baseball, baby. Three or four birdies and or RBI. Tiger does it all. RBI, birdies, it doesn't matter here. He's giving it out, and so are myself and Kevin. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hangman is coming down from the
down. There you go, baby. Look at that. We're about to head into the fourth quarter. It's mid-September. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're chanting in the stands. Not for us, but for Justin Fields. Man, I can't wait for football to come back, man. You want to think about those conversations, you know, getting in bets in the morning. Now, granted, I can't complain. I had 10 RBI wagers in yesterday behind the scenes. Went 5-5, Kevin, again, plus money. I even took a 30% odds boost at Bet365 and bet four players to get a hit on the Atlanta Braves. All of them got a hit. Like, base, I joke by saying this because people said, well, why don't you just put all those plays out? Because I put thousands of tickets out in baseball once we have the numbers in. But I don't feel like I'm doing a service here, right, of putting out, like, I have 9 at-bats here. I think this guy's going to get an RBI, right? But it's working. Unbelievable Saturday, unbelievable Sunday, great Monday here with no statistics. So I'm waiting. I keep telling people when they DM me, I'm like, look, by May 1st, we're going to have so much fun and bet so many RBIs your head is going to spin. Like, forget about team totals, forget about sides, forget about totals itself. The RBI props are where to go. Like, because every one of those bets, like, again, like the Freddie Freemans of the world are plus money with RBI. Like, Austin Riley is plus money with RBI. Marcelo Ozuna gets a home run every time he's up, it feels like right now. He's plus money every game with RBIs. It's wild. Like, I had last night, like, Brandon Marsh, like, a plus 200 for the Phillies, knocking the cover off the baseball. Now, granted, I had to wait till the ninth inning to get a solo home run, but you get the point. Like, unbelievable stuff. Like, I'm already invested in having so much fun, but still I look at football season, like, that's the ultimate. Like, did you get that play parlay in, the 50% boost? Like, I need that back here. Damn you, FanDuel, for giving me $10 wagers.
When, what are you using right now, though, Donnie? Because you keep letting everyone know I'm not even really using the normal stuff.
So my favorite, here's, again, we take a look at FanGraphs. For pitchers, there is no better website on the planet once you get at least like 30 to 60 days in. So the day starts usually back like, let's just say every year. And let's go May 15th. We'll just put it at a certain date. I go there and pick out my pitchers for the day I'm fading. Then I go over to like a site like Roto Grinders and try to match up those pitchers against hitters that are hot over the past 30 days, let's just say against a left-handed pitcher or a right-handed pitcher. Basically, what I'm doing is going to like sites like Roto Grinders and going like, all right, this pitcher's thrown 20 innings this year, struggling with lefties, and then I wait to see if he struggled with lefties last year as like a backdrop, and then I'm doing the same with the hitters, but not looking at last year because I don't care about hitters. Like, hitters are so streaky. It's like, look, man, I'm hitting left-handed pitching like a banshee right now, so I'm just going to ride that out. But they have like 10 at-bats, 15 at-bats. That's it, and it's working. It's not supposed to work. It's not supposed to be like, let me just pick a good player and get an RBI here. But that's working. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, You gotta have the feel for it, DRS, and that's you, and that's your Major League Baseball. Rockies yesterday, great for me. MLB play of the day, plus the 1.5.
Wow.
Fading Zach Gallen on the road.
Getting beat early, come up big. Love to see that. So there's a lot of major.
Well, they started 1-0. They started 1-0.
And what were they on? 4-1? What was it?
4-1. Yeah, then they made it 4-4. 4-3 pretty quickly. So that was a nice one. I did have the the Braves yesterday. I took a minus a run and a half, 4-0, and then just kind of wiped off the face of the earth.
That was rough. I was actually kind of liking it because I knew I needed a couple RBI shots here. It's like Michael Harris. Got that one a little bit later. But you're like the RBI props, and again, in 2 years, Kevin, I probably wouldn't be betting RBI props anymore. Like it seems like it's like an ever so shift. It was sides, mm-hmm. it was totals, it was first fives, then it was money line, or excuse me, not money lines, just team totals itself. But as I take a look at all this stuff, and I say to myself, look, you gotta be an idiot not to bet RBI props. Like, I don't care if it's one or two. The price points you get back, and if they're all correlated, Kevin. Like, if you think the Dodgers are going to win as a minus 225 favorite, they're probably going to hammer the baseball in that game. So Mookie Betts leading off at a plus 160 price, who's knocking the cover off the ball. Yes, you lose that first at-bat unless he hits a home run. And by the way, he's hit five already. So you're not really even losing out on at-bats because he can go deep at any time. But like Ohtani's plus money to get RBIs. And you know what hurts you the most in those instances? Like, if you take a Bryce Harper, it's like they don't even want him to bat. It's like, okay, man on second base, nobody out, walk. Like, come on, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, they did it to him yesterday, extra innings, man on second base. Like, he doesn't get to swing the bat. There he goes right to first base, and the Phillies made him pay, which is what you're supposed to do. That's the only way you get caught up. But for RBI props, some of these guys, good players, at over a 2-to-1 price just to get one, man, you're just passing it up if you're not betting these bets.
I think, though, don't not give yourself DRS the credit that you deserve, being able to dominate the market. Like, for you, it would probably be silly to go back to doing minus, you know, especially with the way, look, because it's so funny for someone like yourself who's so willing to lay juice, right?
Yes.
But why would you go back to betting minus 145, minus 155 team totals and hitting at 64% when you can do all these RBI shots and you just have to be 50%, you know you're going to be better than 50%.
No, it's almost like what catches your attention, because I know I can go back, and by the way, I found so many different ways to do it. Like, there's websites, again, like Bet365 is an unbelievable betting website. Like, I remember going over with you, I don't know if it was last year or even 2 years ago. Like, I was taking like three team parlays, Kevin, where it's like the Dodgers to score over two runs compared with the Phillies over two runs, and let's just say the Cubs over two runs. And it was like plus money. It's like, where do I, and every, like, three here, five here, six here. And it's only two runs here. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different ways to maximize baseball that you don't get in other sports. So it's a lot of fun to learn, and also some of those markets they like to take down, because I do remember, which site was it? I want to say this had to be back, you know, when I was doing SBR. It was me and Kyle, and every afternoon we'd come on there in the first like 2 weeks of the season. It was a team totals. I forget what it was. It was either team, I can't even remember exactly what it was. It was either team totals or first five innings wagers where they let you bet them. I think it actually, you know what? I think it was full game team totals where they actually would start you, Kevin, at a half run, one and a half, two runs, three, two and a half, three runs. Get the point there? Where it's all different levels. And you were literally been able to go to, like, again, down to like 2.5 runs for a Braves team total that was six, and paired up like a Phillies who was like 5.5, and it was plus money just on two of those wagers. And 2 weeks into that market, we had such a following on those that the actual website, which I don't know, was BetGM, MGM, or who went me, Caesars, just said, we're done. We're out. Like, we're never giving this market again. And it was like, hey, win for the people, but really it was a big loss for the people because we couldn't bet it anymore. And I was like, this is the greatest market we've ever found. And the book's like, why are we the only company doing this again? Yeah, we're not. Nobody's doing this anymore. So it went away. It's fun when you actually get down on a book and it's like, this is the greatest market, and it goes away. So you sort of pat yourself on the back and then go, man, I shouldn't have gave any of these wagers out and kept it for myself.
Yeah, I remember the, what was this? There was a secret one you used to do that I don't know if you ever actually told people about. There was a little, remember the 1.5s?
Yeah, the 1.5s. Yeah, talking about stuff that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, man, why don't you give this out? Because I know in 3 days it'll be go away if we do that. Now, the odds have certainly changed on that over the years as well. But when I talk about those emerging markets, like, Kevin, nobody was talking about, you know, and even like pitchers, like the strikeout markets, 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, 4 or 5 years ago, nobody's really talking about that. You probably look at these sports books, FanDuel, DraftKings, whoever. The amount of money they take in on just a side and a total as compared, like, and I'm starting to be a firm believer of this as well. It's fun to talk gambling every once in a while where it's not even, like, generalized. Like in the NFL, Kevin, what's more likely for you? Boy, I like the Eagles, minus 3.5, or, what are you kidding me, man? A.J. Brown over 56.5 yards. Like, the prop bets are so much better and I think so much more beatable than any other numbers. And that includes the NBA, Kevin. Includes college basketball. I think those were that's where the edges are, where you never would have caught me or heard me say that 5 years ago. It would just be a side or a total. You deal with it, you win, or maybe a team total. I love prop bets so much because I do think they're beatable if you have some common sense.
It also just allows you to get involved in a completely different way, right?
You don't even have to like the game. Yep. Don't even have to like the game. You can get down on bets.
No, not at all. And I also, there's just something about a prop bet where you feel in it for longer, I think, sometimes than a side bet. Yeah. I don't know. That's just me.
Like, it except can be injuries on a primetime show right away. It happens.
Well, oh my gosh, crazy. I think the James Cook game is the craziest one we ever watched. I think, like, just looking back on it, like, what did you end up getting him at in that game, Donnie?
Was it 10 yards? Like, what was it? Like, what did I have it at? Because it was being so priced as he's small. Not ever going to reappear in the football game. Right. And I remember us going over that. It was before the half. And I think by the time we got to the car, like, it was basically done. But it was priced at whatever his number was, dropped to, like, under 10 yards. And the question was, like, why don't we just take, like, 40 yards? Like, look, don't get greedy. Like, 10 yards, you know he's going to come back in the game. He's going to do something. I don't want to run it up here. It's like a 15 or 20 to 1, which, again, was for, like, 50 yards rushing, which is wild. See, was it the Jet? Did he fumble, like, twice, like, in the first, like, two drives? Yeah, what was it that he actually got benched for?
Yeah, yes, it was for that.
And they basically said he's never playing again. And we're like, no.
Who was he playing against?
I thought it might have been the Jets. I could be wrong, though. Nah, I can't remember.
Was it the Broncos game, maybe? It was Buffalo, obviously, like Tampa Bay, like prime time. Was it? They didn't play the Jets in one of those nights, did they?
I don't know.
I think it was maybe Denver. I think it was maybe
Denver. Could have been.
By the way, did you see this UFL story that just came out?
No. Oh, destroying?
Yeah. Actually know who he is.
I do know who he is because I saw him on TV make that tackle, and it looks like this is what it's about.
Well, but he is a...
he's a YouTube star.
He's like a legit fame. So he was at, I think it was Central Florida, Donnie, and like pre-NIL basically had to decide between his YouTube career and his...
Yeah.
Like football career, and rightfully decided to go with football.
Who was the guy at South Florida? Was it him? Because there's another guy also at South Florida that was like, look, maybe it's your YouTube or you're out of here. I think it might have been two different guys, though. But I think he was.
Oh, maybe.
I think it was a different guy at USF. It was like, hey, look, I got a YouTube following. I don't think it was, because I think Destroying's actually bigger than that guy where the hubbub was around. Yeah. Go ahead, though. Tell me the story.
But basically, you get this situation where he ends up getting a chance to play legitimate, you know, organized football, if you will.
Yeah.
And fractures his neck in, like, multiple places on a tackle, which is just, it's just crazy. Like, because honestly, I don't know anyone that plays in that league other than him. And I'm not saying that people were showing up for that. I just thought that was,
hey, Destroying's out here making tackles on kickoffs, let alone that. And it was actually a nice play, and I don't know if the returner was talking trash with him or what it was, but I guess they gave my neck a little sore the next day and get a couple fractures in there, so maybe he's just going to go back to kicking on YouTube at this point. But it was one of those where it's like, hey, you know what? This guy's actually a real kicker. Let's give him a job. It'll be good for the league, and he makes a tackle. Not hey, I hurt my Achilles, or I was kicking in practice and I got hurt. Like, he got hurt making a tackle, which is wild to say, and then you're probably not going to play football again at this point.
Yeah, that's man, that's a shame. That's a real shame there. Gosh, like, especially when you're a kicker and you don't really have to tackle, like, nobody would really get angry with you.
Correct.
If you didn't, that's that's a shame there, man.
I was like, you know what? I'm an athlete, because I see some of his videos in the past, like with Antonio Brown, who's like trying to cover him and they do all this stuff. So he is he's not just your random kicker, like, dude, I'm not an athlete. I just kick and that's what I do. He's a pretty good athlete overall at that point. So shame that actually happened. By the way, how about this update? Pittsburgh and Detroit. That was a 3-1 game in the ninth inning. Pittsburgh had the lead, middle of the ninth inning, which means we're heading to the bottom of the ninth. 5-3, Detroit overtaking the Buccos. Boston has scored. And it looks like, I think it's opening day in Boston today. How about that? So they're up 1-0 over Baltimore. Something to keep an eye on. Full Major League Baseball slate tonight. Full NBA slate tonight. We're post college basketball, men's and women's. And breaking news, Robbie Avila, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's On the Move, Kevin. How about that? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Notes to end the day here from Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon, getting closer to the Masters. I love seeing the Masters on TV. I really do. Some pretty good odds boost out there as well coming up on the Masters. You know that. Have you gotten down? Have you broken down the Masters yet? Like,
not yet.
How are we handling that on GTD?
We're going to talk to Brady Cannon tonight, though, for about 20 minutes or so, get some of his early thoughts. I'm excited for that. One thing that jumped out to me with the market is Scottie Scheffler at 4-1 is one of the lowest numbers we've seen in quite some time on a guy entering the Masters.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like there's, I feel like we should be getting better odds on the guys directly behind him. Like if he's 4-1, I feel like we should be getting 13, 14, 15 as a starting point instead of 11 and 12 on your Rorys and Rahms. I know I won't be betting Scottie Scheffler no matter what the research says to me. I'm not betting a guy at 4-1 to win the Masters. I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm interested to say it. Like I just like the pageantry around the Masters, like the kickoff to me of golf season and, you know, particularly up here on the East Coast or Northeast, I should say. It's usually the sign of, okay, we get to look and see spring on TV. Now you just wait for it here. Quite nice weather here up here, by the way. 70 degrees. Be able to relax after the radio show, see what's what, walk the dogs. Since I've been up since the crack of dawn this morning, the boys putting in overtime efforts all throughout the tournament. So it's nice to finally get a little bit of warmer temperatures here. Tonight, though, I already told you guys, I'm on Freddie Freeman to get an RBI in that Dodgers game tonight. Certainly I'm going to add on. But of course, it's not great handicaps just yet. We're right around the corner from betting, you know, 5 to 10 RBI props every single night of the month, right through to August. So I'm excited with that. But the NBA is back in full fold. Did you look at any NBA action tonight? Is it the Lakers over the Warriors? What is going on?
A few things that caught my attention.
Yeah.
SGA's first quarter points at 8.5. First game back for him in a while. You're getting a discounted number whether he gets there or not. And I told people this. I will be betting Embiid over points every single game until he until they put it over 30. And for people who say, oh, blowout, blowout, blowout. They killed the Grizzlies. Scored 30.
Yep. They got it easy. Look, they got Detroit tonight. It's going to be hammer time down at the Wells Fargo Center. The Philadelphia 76ers look to stay the hottest team in the NBA heading into the playoffs. We'll see if that works in their favor. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning into a Tuesday edition of Moneyline. Be back tomorrow. Solo edition for your boy DRS. Good luck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.